everyone here. We know God's got something amazing in store for you. We're always honored and delighted each and every time people come out here to hear us preach and play and sing and all those fun things. And it's an exciting season here at the church. Over the last 2 weeks, we've had 68 new members join our church family. Amen. So that's an awesome thing. And every time we're back there looking over the forms and signing the membership letters and all of those fun things, we really are humbled that you would choose to worship here with us. We're desiring to do our best to lead you and your family into a deeper relationship with the most wonderful person in the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we count it an honor that you would entrust us with doing that. And so we're thrilled to have you here this morning. We know and we're believing that God has something in store for you. And like we say all the time, it's the truth that no matter what we're talking about during this service, we honestly believe that while you're sitting here, you're giving God the opportunity to speak to your heart. And so I want to encourage you while you're here, whether it's listening to me talk about the offering, which we'll do here in a minute, or listening to me make an announcement or preach a message, that the whole time you look in your heart, because I believe that when you sit in these seats, the Lord's going to speak to you what you need to know in order to run your race with Him. Amen? Well, you know that this part of our service is our tithes and offerings segment where we talk about receiving tithes and offerings. Our scripture for this week is very common, very familiar. If you have ever heard any pastor talk about tithes and offerings, I am sure you have heard of this scripture. It's found in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, and verse 10. And it says this, that we are to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. To the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look at a wonderful passage of Scripture here. Over the last couple of weeks, does anyone know what we've been talking about? Oh, good, you have been listening. Marriage. We've been talking about the subject of marriage. Our series is entitled Lord of the Rings. And we were talking about creating unity in our families. And we said in order to walk together in unity, you need to do a couple of things. Does anyone remember what those things are? They start with T's. Number one, you need to touch. Oh, I heard a man say that. You need to touch. Amen. Number one, you need to touch. Number two, you need to talk. And number three, you need to spend time with one another. We said if you hear the opposite of those three phrases in your house, you may have some unity issues. Number one, don't touch me. I just don't even want to touch you right now. Or number two, just don't even talk to me. I don't even want to hear the sound of your voice. Or number three, I don't even want to see your face. We said, if you hear any of those three types of comments in your house, chances are you need to come together and get in unity. Because in order to maintain a healthy, vibrant, growing marriage, you need to touch, you need to talk, and you need to spend time with each other. We talked about the first two. I'd planned on talking about the third one today, spending time with one another. But I actually felt led to go in a little bit different direction this morning. Someone says, well, what about time? I'll wrap it up in a nutshell. Spend time with one another. If you spend time with one another, you're going to be okay, but spend time with one another. Today, though, I want to talk about something a little bit different, but still under the heading of family. And I want to talk to you today about child training, or you could say child raising. Now, if you have children in here and you're a father or a mother, then obviously this will be very beneficial to you. But if you don't have children, I still think there are some things that we can glean from this and use in all of our other relationships. I'm excited about this material because this is more than just how to correct your child. We'll get to that. We'll talk about how to correct your child. But most importantly, what we're talking about is how to grow in a relationship with your children. And I'm excited about talking about that. I am a father. I have a four-year-old and a five-year-old, a five-year-old little girl who's growing up tremendously. She lost her first tooth yesterday. I was the puller, so that was a lot of fun. My little guy, he's growing up too, and it's an honor and a privilege to be their father. And I am extremely interested in a number of things concerning them. First and foremost, I understand, and I pray every parent in here understands this too, that they were God's children before they were mine, and that He was their first father and still is their father in many ways, and has entrusted me with their care. And with them, I am to train them to know Him, to train them to serve Him, to train them to love Him, to instruct them that they can't be just anything they want to be when they grow up, but to train them that God put them here for a purpose, and He put them here for a reason, and they are to find that purpose and find that high calling in Jesus Christ and fulfill it for His glory, that in doing that, that's the only way you can have true success. I'm very aware of that, and even now in my conversations with them, even at that age, I'm trying to build that into them, that our way of living in this household is not just mommy and daddy's rules, but I'm instructing you in the ways of your high father, your God in heaven, who also is watching over you and wants the best for you. So that's the first thing I'm mindful of. The second thing I'm mindful of is that my father went home to be with the Lord when I was 17 years of age. And I desire for my children to grow old with me. I desire for them that even when they're out of my household, I want my boy to be my best friend. I want him to lean on me, for me to be able to enjoy him. There's a story that always I think about when I think of fathering. And I was reading a book by Donald Trump a couple of years ago. And he was talking about in this one particular business meeting, I think everyone knows who he is, but he actually was getting ready to file for bankruptcy. All of his businesses were collapsing. And he was in a board meeting with all of his high employees, accountants, lawyers, all of this. And they were giving him a picture of doom and gloom. And this was many years ago. And he said in the meeting, he really was feeling all of this pressure and all of this concern. And he left the meeting and just said, "Can I take a break?" And on the break, he picked up the phone and called his father. And when he was talking to his father, was telling him what was going on in the meeting. And he said his father barked on the other end of the line, "Don't you know what I've always told you? You're a titan. You're a king. Get back in there and turn it around." And he said that that was just what he needed to hear in that moment. Instead of it's collapsing, it's failing, he believed that image that his father had built in him when he was a little child, and his father was reconfirming that image in him. And he said he went back into that meeting, and instead of talking about all the stuff they were going to close down, he started talking about all the new projects they could open. And he said that was the turning point for his life. And I want that for my children. I want even when they're older to where they could call on me and I could be an advisor to them, be a friend to them. I want a strong relationship with them. And every night before I put my boy to bed, that's what I tell him. You're a titan and you're a king. And there's nothing you can't do because God's for you. But I want that with him. I don't only want that now with him and my little girl when they're little, but I want them growing up and becoming closer and closer with me. You've got to understand, the enemy's main tactic for destruction is this. It's an old war tactic. People and generals didn't get it. The enemy invented it first. When the enemy wants to destroy something, his main strategy is to divide and conquer. If he can get a family divided, he can conquer it. If he can get a church divided, he can conquer it. If he can get a nation divided, he can conquer it. That's always been his main goal, is to divide and conquer. And God is the inventor of not only marriage, but also the inventor of family. And when God created family, his design was to develop a close-knit group of people that would have so much love for each other that it would create strong bonds And that man and that father, that mother, would draw upon their relationship with God, impart their relationship with God to their children, and then their children would grow up, become adults, and do the same thing with their children, and the legacy of faith would get passed down from generation to generation, walking together in unity, one with God and one with each other. So the enemy from day one, guess what he's been trying to do? Separate man from God and separate kids from parents. Why? He's after division. So in our households, we have to understand that number one, I'm to train these children for the purposes of the Lord. God put them on this earth to do something. They're not here by accident. They have an assignment to fulfill. I'm to help them fulfill it and to train them to fulfill it. And number two, I'm going to do everything I can to keep them close to me. I don't want them running from me. I want them to run to me. I want them close. I want them in a strong relationship with me because there's wisdom that I'm getting from the Lord that they need to be operating in their life. And so what we're talking about in this is not how to spank or not how to, you know, ground those types of things. And every parent's got their own source of punishment. Someone says, how should I punish my kids? I'll just say this. If you are ashamed to tell me how you punish your kids, chances are you're doing it wrong. So with a rule, if you wouldn't tell your neighbor how you punish them, chances are you're probably doing it wrong. But with that, punishment is not a bad thing. We're going to talk about that, but the goal of this is to not relay that type of information to you. The goal is to give you biblical wisdom on how to be a God-ordained parent into this child's life so that this child can fulfill the purpose of God, God has for it, and also desires to keep a strong relationship with you because that's the way God wanted it. In Ephesians chapter 6, there's a lot of practical application with this. I love the Bible. It's very simple. It's not complicated. And here it's talking about many relationships in Ephesians chapter 6, a relationship between a boss and an employee and boss, a relationship between a father and a child. And we're going to see some of that wisdom here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. It says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. That's awesome to me. I've been thinking about this ever since I first was preaching it this morning in first service, just in my office, thinking of how can I honor my father and mother more? Think about this. God says, I promise you, I make a promise to you. If you do this, I'll do this. Oh, what's the promise, Lord? If you will honor your father and mother, hold them in high regard, then I will do this. I'll cause it to be well with you in your life, and I'll lengthen your days, give you longer life. Think about it. God's saying, if you don't do anything else, if you do this one thing, honor your father and mother, I promise you these two things will happen in your life. I'm not preaching on this. We'll save that message for Mother's Day. But I would ask you this. What are ways you could honor, even as an adult, what are ways you could honor your father and mother more? Even if they've gone home to be with the Lord, how could you honor them in memory? God says, if you honor them, I promise you, you'll have these two things. But notice he goes on to say in verse 4 this, and you fathers, or you could say you parents, provoke not your children to wrath, but do this. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now notice what he says. He says, all right, parents, we've talked to the children. Children, you need to obey your parents. This is right. This is good in the Lord's sight. You need to honor your father and mother so it's well with you and you'll have long days. All right, great. Parents, here's your instruction. Whatever you do, don't provoke these children to wrath. Don't do that. Instead, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. All right, great. What does that mean? Have you ever been, maybe you weren't feeling your best and you had someone, maybe it was a nurse or a doctor, or maybe it was a spouse or a parent who came and nurtured you? You think of being nurtured? It wasn't them just sitting in a chair having deep and great feelings of love and concern for you, right? It was them demonstrating that love and concern to you through actions, through touch, through spending time with you, taking care of you. If you've ever been nurtured, it's love in action. We said this in regards to marriage. I'll say the same thing in regards to children as well. It's one thing for me as a father, I can only speak on my behalf, it's one thing for me as a father to feel deep feelings of love for my children. If you ask me today, do you love your kids? I'd say, of course, I love my kids. They're my kids. They got my blood in them. They got my last name. I love my kids. It's one thing for me to say I love my kids, but it's a whole nother thing for my kids to feel loved by me, to feel nurtured by me. And that's what this word nurture means. It's not just, oh, I feel great feelings of love towards my kids. It means I am displaying that love to them. Nurture first, and then admonition or admonishment, which simply means correction. I'm to do two things for my kids. The first thing I'm to do, I am to nurture them. I am to display love to them. The second thing I'm supposed to do is I'm supposed to correct them. It's part of my God-given call as their parents to train them up in the ways of the Lord. And when their ways violate the ways of the Lord, then that's when correction enters into their life. And correction's not a bad thing. It's a very positive thing when it's done right. But notice before correction, he mentions nurture. Nurture. And this, my friends, is critically, critically important. I never will forget when my daughter was first born. I don't know how many of you have children, but I can only speak for myself. When my daughter was first born, just as a little child born in that hospital room, and I held her in my hands for the very first time, had new feelings of love come up in me that I had never felt before. If you'd asked me 5 minutes before she came out, do you know what love is? I would have given you a definition. But when she came back and when she came out and I'm holding this child, I mean, everything I thought I knew about love changed. The first thought I felt was, if God loves me anything like the feelings I'm having for this child, I have got it made. I mean, that was my first thinking, because I know there's no part of me that doesn't want to see this child blessed, taken care of, protected. When she's crying, I'm looking at the nurse like, don't hold her that way. I mean, I am passionate about this little child. And feeling that sense of love, I promise you, like I said, I don't know about your experiences. I wasn't there. I can only speak to mine. But I promise you, I've never felt anything quite like that. Just that feeling of amazing love for another human being. And oftentimes, you know, like I said, now she's 5 years old. Oftentimes there are moments in my private time with the Lord where I'm praying, and you ought to pray for your kids. And when I'm praying for my kids, the Lord will bring me back to that moment. Bring me back to that. Remember that love you had for them. Oh, yeah, Lord, I remember that. Remember that sheer care you had for them. Oh, yeah, Lord, I remember that. He'll lead me back to that and say, are you displaying that love that you felt then to them today? Oh, Lord, you're right. I need to go in there and play with them a little bit. I need to go in there and wrestle with them some or do something, but I need to show them that love. I don't need to just bottle it up and keep it to myself. I need to express it to them. And that's what he's meaning here when he says you are to bring them up in nurture. That those feelings that you have of love in its purest and its finest, you are to pour that out on those kids. Now, there also comes time, though, when you have to admonish, when you have to correct. There comes times as a parent, I don't care who your kid is, I don't care who they are, there comes times where your flesh gets irritated or aggravated, where they're not perfect. In fact, today, I pulled my kids aside before we came to church, and I sat them there, and I said, now listen, I want y'all to be good today. And they said, all right, we got this. And I said, no, really, y'all need to be really good today. Daddy's teaching on parenting and you can't go in that church running around. You really need to be good today, okay? You need to be good. Well, why would you have to tell your kids things like that? Because there are times where their actions, attitudes, and behaviors are not always perfect. And when that happens, whether they're 3, 13, or 23, you have to come into their life and bring in correction and bring in discipline and bring in borders and boundaries to keep them growing right and growing in their relationship with you and God and His Word. Now, when that happens, you have those feelings of frustration. I can remember when I had my little girl, like I said, I can remember a couple of weeks after that, my wife came and told me, okay, you're up tonight. You're up tonight with the baby. I'm thinking, yeah, I got this. I've read all the books. I'm a reader. This cry means birth. This cry means feed. This cry means change. We got this. And so I wake up. I'm fired up about it. I'm going to show everyone how to be an amazing dad. And so I've got this little newborn, and it's great at first. I mean, we're laughing, and I'm trying to make her smile and all of these things, and she starts crying, and I think, forget all the books. I'm going to do all 3, burp, change, and feed. So we're going through it, and finally she calms down a little bit, but then she keeps on crying, and I'm doing everything I can. I'm talking in funny voices. I'm dancing. I'm making sock puppets. Anything I can, turning the cow into some type of bed and turning on cartoons. Nothing can make it stop. And finally, I tagged my wife about 6 in the morning and said, tag, you're it, and got back in bed. And so anyway, but there are moments like that where you feel frustration. You feel tired. You feel, and that's not just with newborns. That happens when they're 3 and spill milk all over the floor, or when they're 4 and back talk, or when they're 5 and do something else at school. Whatever it may be, you're going to have feelings where you have to bring in correction. And let me say this, that's part of your God-given responsibility for them. You are called by God to correct them. And we will talk about this next week, that Proverbs goes as far to say that if you are not correcting your kids, it's showing to them, and this is the word the Bible uses, that you hate them. Because if you really love them, you would correct them because it's in their best interest. Now, here's the thing, though. This is what I want to get at today before I talk about how to set proper boundaries and borders and correction. The first and most important thing is to nurture them. And then from that foundation, build your borders and boundaries. If the nurture is not there, and I'm sure at all times we know and we could be more nurturing, but if the nurturing is not there, it's going to breed all kind of problems in that household. There's a statement, you probably have heard it before, but it's the honest to God's truth. It's one you need to know like the back of your hand when it comes between you and your kids. Rules without relationship equals rebellion every single time. Rules without relationship will produce, it equals rebellion each and every time. In fact, why don't you say that with me? Say, rules without relationship equals rebellion every time. All right, now what does that mean? It means that if all the interaction I'm having with my kids is setting up do's and don'ts, and I am not taking the time to monitor my relationship with them, that I'm not bringing in that nurturing side, that care side, it's going to breed rebellion in their heart towards me, and they will not want to have anything to do with me. In the Bible, it's called religion. If people only think of God as rules and they don't see the relationship, it actually leads to running from God versus running to God. And the same thing is true in your household. Your first and primary concern with those kids is setting up a foundation of nurturing. And then off of that foundation, building your borders and boundaries so that even when correction comes, it's not coming from a source of aggravation. It's coming out of a source of love because you care about their best interests. I was talking to a man, this was probably a year and a half ago. This particular individual, he's a close friend of mine. In fact, I'd say he's probably within my inner circle. People I look to call upon when I need advice, counsel, or wisdom. He lives outside of the state. He's a businessman. He's successful at what he does. But not only is he successful financially, but he's also a successful Christian. He loves the Lord. He's a man of the Spirit. But he also has an extraordinary relationship with his kids. And not only does he have a great relationship with his kids, but they are very successful too. They're both established in their careers. They both have strong marriages. And they're growing in their relationship with the Lord. So here lately, I've found myself asking him more and more questions on parenting. I mean, because he's just done a fabulous job with these kids. And they would say the same thing about him. So I was asking him about this, and on one particular lunch, we talked for a long time about this issue. I don't have time to say everything he said and all that we talked about, but I'll just give you the nugget of truth concerning it. He said it was when his children were teenagers that he really saw some things concerning parenting, and he wishes that he saw those things when they were, you know, toddlers, because it would have made things a whole lot easier. And I think we could all say that, even in the back room today, me and David, and it's his birthday tomorrow. So if you see David, tell him happy birthday. We love Brother David. But anyway, we were talking back in the back after first service, and we were saying, man, we wish we knew some of these things beforehand. You know, before you ever start a family, you wish you know these things. And he was conveying that to me. But he was saying, there was one particular day where his daughter was around people she shouldn't be around. And I'm sure if you have teenagers or, you know, kids that you run into some of those issues too. And so he had to correct her about those relationships because he had already told her that those relationships were just not an option for her to have. And he was saying that when he was correcting, the light bulb kind of went on and he was sawing that she was agreeing, okay, I understand, we won't do this again, that kind of thing. But he said, I could tell that there was no direct impartation going into her heart. Have you ever been talking to someone and you could tell the lights were on but no one was home? You know what I mean by that? They're nodding like they say yes, but you can tell they are not listening to anything you are saying. This happens to me as a preacher a lot. But anyway, this type of thing happens with your kids, especially during times of correction. Maybe in that time of correction, they're more mindful of the punishment that's going to come after the correction, or they're just mad because they want to do it anyway, and you're telling them they can't do it. But he said, I knew at that time that I'm yielding correction, which is right. That's the thing to do in a time like that. But he said, I'm not making any connection whatsoever. No wisdom is getting imparted to her heart at all. And he said, after the correction was done, I went away from that and just started praying. And this is a good thing to do, especially with your kids, pray. He said, I started to pray and asked the Lord about what to do with this. I want her not to just, not for me to tell her, you don't need to be around these kids. I want her to not want to be around them. I want her to see why it's not a good thing for her to be around them. And so he was praying about that. How do you communicate that? How can you get that over to her? And he said, I didn't get an answer just right then. But he said, a couple of days later, she would come home from school, and, you know, put her backpack on the chair there. And he said he was in the kitchen making a snack, and she came up and was kind of picking on him, and he started making her a snack too, and it turned into a little food fight type of deal, and they were laughing and all of those kinds of things. And he said, as that was going on, they're having fun with each other. Remember, your first role as a parent is to nurture. And when you're doing that right, it's going to lead to some great emotions in your household. Joy, peace, fun, excitement, energy, laughter. All of those things should be in our homes. If there's any place on earth that should be safe and fun and full of love and peace, it should be in Christians' homes. So with this, they're having fun and all of that kind of stuff. And as this is going on, the Lord spoke to his heart. He said, now talk to her. Now explain to her why that's not a good thing to be around those people. And so they're having fun. He just stops and he said, remember, honey, the other night we were talking and I was correcting you for being around those people. He said, do you understand why I don't think that's good for you? And he went on to explain about godly connections and how there will always be people in your life who want something from you. But he as her father and God as her father wants something for her. And there's a big difference. And he was talking to her about that. And finally her heart opened up. He made a connection. And from that connection was able to impart wisdom. And he said, I saw after that, I never had a problem with her hanging around those wrong people ever again. And he said, so I started doing that with everything. He said, before a problem would ever come up, I'd try to create really fun moments, just really great moments in the household. And when I saw that they were open to me, when I saw they were having fun, I'd use that as an opportunity to impart godly wisdom into their heart, to tell them why I'm telling them they need to live the life the way I'm telling them to live it. Does that make sense? And I thought about that when he was saying it to me. And I thought back on my childhood. And I'll be honest and say during my teenage years, I was not a perfect kid. Definitely not a perfect kid. But with that, towards my senior year, I started on my own without my parents ever coming in and finding out anything that I was doing. I made a decision my senior year. I want to live for God. And without them knowing it, I made a decision then, I'm going to do this. As best I can, I'm going to do this. And I thought about what made the change in me. And I thought back about over that and what he was saying in context, and I realized what it was. The memories that I had that are the best times of my childhood were spent when I was having fun with my parents. I could look back and think about some times I had fun with friends or things like that. But my strongest memories are times when my father would put me on the back of his motorcycle and we would ride around Ratliff's Ferry, ride around Rose's Bluff and on the Natchez Trace and go back there and goof off, have fun, shoot turtles. Don't write me a letter about that. But anyway, just go out there and do fun stuff. And at those times and things like that, he would always stop and just talk to me. No correction, just talk to me about the ways of God. Talk to me about work ethic. Talk to me about wisdom. Talk to me about how to hear God in my heart and what that meant and how God would lead you and guide you. And I look back over those times and I realize that the strongest lessons I ever learned came from those times. How does it work? It works like this. I'll give you this example. If I had a bottle of water here, you know, just say a bottle of water like this with a very narrow neck, and another water bottle the same size like this over there on top of that table that was empty, and I said, come on up here and you get all the water or as much as you can that's in this cup over in that cup. The only thing is you have to stand from over here to do it. How much water do you think would actually get in the cup? Very, very little amount, right? Maybe a drop or two if you're very skilled. I mean, if you almost made the NBA, maybe you'd have a shot. But if I told you, you can go over there to the other bottle and connect the two and put them right on top of each other and pour in an empty bottle, everything that's in that bottle, how much water do you think you could get in? All of it, right? Or at least, even if you're very clumsy, you could get in a good amount, right? Right. Well, why is that? You took the time to connect the two. So many times, and like I said, I don't know you, I only know me. As parents, it's easy to try to just give instruction all the time. Correction, correction. Do's, don'ts, do this, don't do that, that's wrong, this is right. And try to get the what's in you, your principles, your values, your standards, over into that child. But oftentimes, if that's all I'm doing, not very little of what's in me is getting in them. But if I take the time, and it does take some time, to walk over and connect, to walk over and, you know, I've got a four-year-old, so our fun is wrestling. I mean, that's what we did this morning. We were Spider-Man shooting our webs at each other, and he thought he won, so I had to tell him, no, you didn't. So I took him and took him over the bed. We're wrestling, and I'm body slamming. And I stop and say, don't do that to the kids in preschool. I know I'm doing it with you, but don't do that with the kids in preschool. And so finally, I was running a little bit late, so I said, I got to go. And I'm walking over to get dressed, get ready to come to church, and he says, Dad. And I look around, and he says, and so I walk a little bit closer. He says, I said, I got to get dressed. He said, no, come wrestle. I said, you don't want a piece of me. And he said, I want a piece. I said, you don't want a piece of this. And so I ran over and grabbed and wrestled with him a little bit more. But what is that? What is that? Yeah, it's love. It's connection. And you know what? If I can maintain that, I can instruct that boy. I can go and read Proverbs. My son, listen unto my words. Bind these commandments about your heart. It's a father speaking into the life of a boy. Friend, I want to encourage you as a father, as a mother, you've got to watch that connection more than anything else. And if you sense division there, you got to come back and build that connection back so you can impart the wisdom God wants you to into their hearts. I'll close with this story. Out of all the examples of the Bible of fatherhood, I would say if you want to learn how to be a good parent, look at Jesus. Why Jesus? He didn't have any kids. Well, it's true, but Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father. Jesus was the Father, God, made manifested in the flesh, the perfect epitome example of parenting. And look how Jesus treated people. It's always from the role of a father. And there were plenty of occasions in Jesus' life where people disappointed him, where I'm sure he had to deal with all kinds of emotions. And there was one person who was very, very close to Jesus, very, very close to him, named Peter. And in fact, Jesus not only was a father type of figure in Peter's life, but Jesus was actually counting on Peter to be a bedrock for which he could build the church upon. And towards the end of Jesus' life, Jesus pulls Peter aside and he tells him, before the cock crows tonight, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, I'll never do it. I'll never do it. I'll die before I do it. And sure enough, he goes out and does the very thing Jesus told him not to do. Has your kids ever done anything like that? You told them not to do it? Well, Jesus tells them what's going to happen. He says he won't do it, but he goes out there and does it anyway. Oh, and when he does it, his eyes catch Jesus's. Well, Jesus is being mocked and beaten. And he realizes what he does, and shame sets in. And he runs off, and Jesus is crucified. 3 days later, he rises again from the grave. And Jesus, when he's risen, he says, go get my disciples and Peter. And he finds out they're out fishing on a lake. You can read about this in the last chapter of John. He finds out they're fishing on a lake. And Peter, he's just wronged Jesus. He's denied him. He's committed a sin. And he's broken up about it. This is what happens when you have relationship first, then rules, Guess what happens? It doesn't lead kids to being mad at you. It leads to them being brokenhearted when they know they violated the rules because it came at their relationship. And this is where Peter's at. He loves the Lord. And he sinned, and he knows he did, and his heart is broken up about it. And you know what Jesus does? It's fascinating. Oh, it's a beautiful example of fatherhood. You know what he does? He comes out there, sees them on the lake. They're out there fishing. And John looks over and he says, "I think I see the Lord." Peter looks and says, "You're right." Peter doesn't wait for the boat to get back on the shore. Guess what he does? He jumps out and starts swimming. That's a good sign when your kids are running towards you rather than from you. And Peter, he can't wait to get there. And you know what Jesus didn't do when Peter got on the shore? He said, "Peter, remember that time when you said you never would deny me?" "Yeah, Lord." "How could you have done that? I told you explicitly what they were going to do. Da, 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 da." Jesus could have done that. He could have done that. But you know what he did? He said, "Come over here, boys. Come over here. No mention of the mistake. Come over here." He builds a fire. Gets some of those fish. He says, "Let me cook you dinner." They're just having dinner with each other. Having fun with each other. Like the incident never happened. And at this moment, what's Jesus doing? He's nourishing. He's connecting. Why? Jesus still needs to get some things in, Mr. Peter. And so he cooks dinner for him. Oh, they're having a good time. Then he pulls Peter over to the side. And guess what he does? Imparting. "Peter, do you love me?" "Oh, yeah, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" "Oh, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs." "Peter, do you love me?" "Oh, Lord, you know I love you. You know what's in my heart. Feed my sheep." What's Jesus doing? He's confirming his love for him. Guess what happened to Peter, man? He became a rock-solid disciple. He became someone that Christ did build his church upon. Friend, I'm telling you, Jesus is a genius. He knew how to make a connection with that man all over again. He knew that if I can make that connection happen, I can speak into his life and will never deal with him denying me again. Even if they hang him upside down on a cross, he won't deny me. And guess what? That's exactly what happened. Never denied him again. Not because he came in there with relationship, connection, and sealed that in his heart so strong that Peter made a decision, "I'll never do it again." And friend, I want to encourage you with your kids. Yeah, we need to correct. It's a part of our God-given mandate as parents. But the most important thing I can do for those kids is connect with them. If I can communicate my love to them, they feel that love I have for them. I can speak into their life. And when I can do that, I can help God fulfill the destiny he has for them. Amen. Oh, you've been a pleasure to preach to this morning. Let's